and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Remco Wienenberg, who is co-founder of Think Fintech. Welcome to the podcast, Remco.
Thank you very much, Ritter, for having me. I'm delighted to be able to share my experience today in your podcast.
Well, we'll start with that very important first question, which is, why, Remco, do you do what you do?
Oh, that's very simple, actually. I'm originally a psychologist, so I studied neuroscience, actually. So I come from a very different angle than most bankers, and my main drive is to see how fintech can positively impact people's daily lives. That's basically my tagline. So if you reduce financial stress, then you will also see that people will make better decisions, better judge decisions, mostly, because financial stress is related to mental illness. So I combined my background with what I'm currently doing. I try to turn fintech into something that is tangible for people. You know, like when we talk about all of these jargon terms and stuff that people don't understand. If I would walk on the street in the Netherlands, in my hometown, and I would start talking smack about blockchain to some random shop owner, he's just going to look at me like, I don't get it, you know?
No.
Yeah. So I try to make complex things more simple in order to improve people's life. That's basically my mission.
That is very interesting to have that that psychology background and neuroscience, and you're really trying to do things at the human level. And I think that's quite quite interesting how you're trying to keep things simple and human, because sometimes in finance we can get a little bit carried away with all jargon that you're talking about and using all these fancy terms that many people actually don't understand. Now, what is it, Remco, that you do with Think Fintech?
With Think Fintech, it's in a child's shoes, okay? So we're still at the very beginning of our journey. I'm joined by two companions. One of them is from Lithuania, one of them is from Dubai, which is a powerful combination. One of them is a senior banker and the other one is a senior fintech. So that makes a good team, because what we're trying to do is, it's a bit different. What we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with a good package where we help fintechs being successful in selling to banks or working with them. This all comes down to something that we call stakeholder analysis and sales and marketing alignment. And what I mean with that is, a lot of fintech companies think that they have found a solution which actually makes no sense at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the kind of guy about, I'm always honest, okay? So I'm going to Lithuania in 1 week. Mm-hmm. In that country, there are almost 270 e-money institutions at this moment. Probably more. Some of their licenses have actually been revoked due to violation with regulation and violation with the central bank. But if you look at the offering of all of these companies, the real question comes up, why are you different? And how do you differentiate yourself in a market that is becoming increasingly saturated? And the European fintech market is saturated. Mm-hmm. Let's be very honest with you, Rutger. I will ask you a question.
Right.
If Revolut would do everything for your financial needs, would you consider picking another player?
They're doing it pretty well. So a new player would have to have something unique for me to pick it.
Exactly. And this is one of our key areas. Well, we look at the very critical, let's say, strategic business model. We look at the marketing strategy, because very often marketing and sales are not aligned at all within fintech companies. So you need to have them on the same page, both of them. Otherwise, chances of success are lower. And you need to have a story. It's exactly what you said in your podcast, Simon Sinek. We don't buy what you do, we buy while you do it.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
This is something that is very often missed, unfortunately. Yep.
And so you help fintechs get that message right and make sure that they get their sales and marketing strategy so that they are unique and that they have a very targeted market that is different from what the Revoluts are doing so that they stand a chance in the European market.
Well, it's quite hard to make yourself stand out against Revolut at the moment, but it is important to tell a vision and a story. Yeah, there's so many of these payment institutions that I'm like, why? You offer me a digital wallet? I already have one.
Yeah. So when you work with your clients, how do they express what the value is of what you do? When they say, hey, Remco, it was great working with you. We really like doing this, or we like that you provided us. What is the value that they say you give them?
I would say the value that I give them is a new purpose. Mm-hmm. So we're really working together on a partnership level. Also, I think fintech at the moment, as I said, we're still in our early stage. So maybe some use cases will come out soon.
Yeah.
Of course, we are tailoring everything we do. So there is not a single standard approach. This means that, for example, a young fintech company with a little budget, of course, we're not going to handle them as a banking institute or, let's say a scale-up or enterprise-level company because they don't have the budget for it. They need some help. So we stand for two things. One is helping the scale-ups succeed, and on the other hand, we also try to help startups. And yeah, we have to handle them differently. Basically, the end result is it's simple. So we do a little bit of screening. So we try to identify the pain. That this is something that a lot of startups also don't really understand. It's like you need a good pain point to start with. Yeah. So that's also our approach. So first we listen. We try to identify where are the obstacles within the organization. And this can be across so many levels that we also have to narrow it down. On the other hand, we need to also be able to address them. It could be in sales, it could be in a marketing team, it could be in a C-level team, it could be in compliance, regulation. We have to identify who is the CTO, who is the CFO, who is the CMO, and I hope that they have one because otherwise it's going to be really difficult today. And we try to identify all the needs of these people. So one of the main questions that we take is, what is keeping your customer up at night? And we approach it from this point of view. So it might be that I am the right person to talk to when it comes to your sales performance, your sales and marketing strategy, but maybe it's better to talk to one of my companions who has worked or built actually multiple greenfield banks. He knows exactly how the banking system works, and he knows it at a better level than I do. I'll be that honest. And or they can talk to my Lithuanian companion who has years of experience selling to banks and knows what the pitfalls are. So we try to help everyone on a kind of tailored level, depending on needs, basically. But at the core stands the stakeholder analysis. That's the most important part.
So you bring the outside consulting advisor view, and with your companions, you bring lots of experience, which I think that's certainly helpful. Now, I'd like to do this thing called futures thinking. Now, we don't know what the future is going to hold, but we can think about what possible futures could look like. So if you look 10 years out, so 2035, what do you think the banking landscape is going to look like? I know it's a long way out, 10 years out, but what do you think that could look like?
10 years, it's a long time. I would actually say that I'm still on the very skeptical side of digital currencies. Although we have recently seen a change with the Trump administration, which has to be acknowledged. It's very hard to predict because when I talk to daily people, like business owners and the problems that they're facing, I think that one of the core things that I've come to realize in the last few years is that fintech has become a commodity. If you know what I mean, it's no longer a disruptive force. It's something part of our lives. It's already integrated almost everywhere. Even people in the Netherlands started to use, I mean, still ABN AMRO, yeah, one of our the Dutch banks. Yeah, it's convenient enough for people who spend most of their lives in the Netherlands. But I've seen a great adoption of Revolut across the whole country. The problem is how is Revolut going to diverse itself or offer products that make the business model a little bit more sustainable? I mean, investment products and all these. It's very hard to predict the future for fintech at the moment, I would say, for the banking landscape. But there's one thing for sure. The traditional banks aren't going anywhere. So many years ago, there was a lot of saying, oh, banks will disappear. And have we seen it happen? Not really, yeah. And one major trend absolutely is it's undeniable. I think that AI will change the landscape for a very large part, actually. At the moment, I have a detector on my laptop, which will, if you say something with ChatGPT, I will know. Let's put it that way.
There you go. Interesting.
Yeah, but there will be some real big tension in the next few years between banks already changing jobs. We see that customer service is completely changing as well. I've always said that when it comes to a sensitive financial matter, I want to talk to a human being. I'm sorry, but that's just how I am. And of course, we have all of these generational differences. So if we go 10 years into the future, we don't know how Generation X will have changed. And at that time, I will be at the age of, oh, I will be getting old. Oh, and all of these trends, there's so many of them. It's hard to predict.
But so I
Digital.
hear you say banks will still be around, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Maybe digital currencies will play a role, but absolutely AI is going to change
Maybe
everything.
central bank digital currencies will play a role.
Right. Okay. But then AI is going to be the big change, right? That's the big change of our lifetime. Now, how can people get ready today for that change that we're going to see with AI? If you advise any of the fintechs that you work with, what can they do today to get ready for that change that's coming in AI?
And that's actually quite simple. So basically, please don't replace people who handle serious matters by a chatbot. That's one of my first advices because I do see companies doing this. And then there's a little trick to put this in this podcast. If you want to avoid or bypass the chatbot, the only thing you have to type in your is live agent, then they will actually get you in touch with the real person. I think that there has to be a very strong balance. I did a webinar a while ago about, okay, so where is AI and where are the people? Like, how do we balance this out within the company? Of course, AI cost saving. Yeah, it is. On the other hand, if it generates friction with the customer, you might not retain them, which can also pose a problem. So the best strategy is the best of both worlds, basically. But I would really advise companies not to debt trap people into the chatbot loom, as I call it, where you can't speak to a person, where you're stuck with something, where you get access to frequently asked questions. So keep it human, keep it real. I would put it that way.
Maybe that's a good point to wrap this up on. So don't replace everything with AI. Keep the human in the loop because like human interaction is important.
Yes.
Thank you, Remco, for being on the podcast and for doing the futures thinking and telling us why you do what you do. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much, Rutger. Yeah, it was a pleasure, and good luck with all your future podcasts.
And until next time, choose to be curious.